college radio DJs during the 90s. Hosts Keith and Steve helped expose bands like Nirvana, Pavement, and PJ Harvey. They went to shows, interviewed musicians, and reviewed albums for various zines and papers. They worked security at concerts and once even did load-in for Phish. Now they're dads. Whether you want to explore lesser-known music or take a trip down memory lane, tune in to the New Dad Rock. Join hosts Keith and Steve as they navigate the ages together, sharing their love of music across various eras and genres. Always well-intentioned, often well-informed, seldom boring, the New Dad Rock will expand your mind. Welcome to the New Dad Rock.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Steve, welcome. It's been a while.
Yes, Keith, it has.
What have you been doing?
Mostly skiing.
Not me. I don't think Tahoe has any snow. I tried to go up there once this year, but I had to turn back after 9 hours because no one could get up there because there was a massive blizzard. But I think that was the only time it snowed.
Yeah, that was like in December. They got like 8 feet of snow in one weekend, and then that was it for the year, right?
Yep, totally. So I haven't been skiing this
year. Something like that.
So yeah. You guys have snow on the East Coast?
Well, I went almost every single weekend this winter, except for one or two. And I did run into like three blizzards.
Nice.
So I definitely had some powder days. And everyone always talks about how great it is to ski in a powder day. And, you know, when it's fresh snow, it's great. But there are times that it's really windy. It's a blizzard. And the snow is coming down. And keep in mind, you're on the side of a tall mountain.
It's the side of a mountain. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had some days where we got snowed out and the lifts weren't running and you're stuck to two trails and it was tough conditions. But yeah, I have a problem.
You have a problem that you still go out in that crappy condition and go skiing.
Yeah. And the worst part is like that's every single weekend. And then what am I doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night at home?
Not skiing?
Yeah, but I'm watching ski videos.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube watching, like, it could be ski instructional videos. I also like trying to get a flavor for whatever mountain I'm going to ski, especially if I'm not familiar with it. So I'll, like, look at different trails. Uh-huh. Like, you put that in YouTube.
Totally,
and yeah, and you can find videos of people skiing those trails.
That's awesome.
Have you ever done this?
Yeah. I've maybe done once or twice for skiing, but I've done it for other things I can't think of right now. But like walking around or driving around. Like, yeah, I end up in these rat holes all the time. But you have a real passion for a particular thing, skiing.
Right. But one of the things that I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed the same thing, it could be a ski video or a mountain biking trail or a hiking trail or driving somewhere. But people get their GoPros out or whatever they're recording on, and they have this irritating music in the background. Have you ever noticed this?
Yeah, kind of like...
Yeah, it's some sort of electronic loop that probably came with whatever the software that they're using is.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. I know what you're saying.
And it's like...
Milo just sent me a bunch of pictures of just me and him, but he sent me a video with each of those themes. Because there's like 10 of them that comes when you do the auto slideshow. You know, so like
right. The
fun, the happy, the sad, the slow.
And it's all saccharine and just makes you want to bark.
Yeah, so you like that kind of music now. Is that what you're saying?
No. Oh. So what I'm saying is I just love any sort of video, and it doesn't have to be professionally shot or anything.
Sure.
But the best videos are the ones that have like the 80s punk rock or even some hardcore songs that like get your heart pumping, and it's like... you know, that driving fun beat.
Yeah, I remember this from my skateboarding days in the mid-80s. They'd have the videos out. They'd be hardcore aggro music or punk music or whatnot.
And I think what makes it work for skiing or snowboarding, God forbid, is it that type of music, I think, has roots in surf rock as well.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so, from surf rock to garage rock to... Yeah,
so you go back to 60s surf rock. Like, that was the soundtrack to surf music, or surf movies, videos of the 60s.
Like Link Ray.
Exactly. Yeah, and then by the 70s, it became, like you said, garage rock. And so, of course... What do I do all winter? I start listening to those bands.
Wow. Because you're watching these good ski videos,
that have this music, you're listening to it, or are you listening to it because you're trying to you're trying to will it onto the ski videos?
I think it's inspired by the former, but more realistically the latter, because I feel like 80s hardcore, 80s punk was always adjacent to what I was listening to, yeah. But it wasn't really what I did listen to. It was kind of like the friend group next door or the next door neighbor, or, you know, it was the bands I liked also listened to them, that sort of thing.
Yeah, or the kids I wanted to hang out with had buttons. Remember buttons on their denim jackets that were painted with bands? And so, like, the closest I got was skateboarding with another Steven Reed. Listening to Dead Milkmen, Dead Kennedys. That was sort of as far as I went that direction.
Yeah, so my skate friends would listen to Suicidal Tendencies, Dead Milkmen, you said, SOD.
There's a whole bunch of
Agent Orange was the big one that I still listen to it. Living in Darkness, their album from, I think it was like 79. That album is just, that right there, if you're going to make a ski video, put some Agent Orange on it.
Okay, I got to listen to this.
So that would be one.
It sounds so familiar. Obviously, the name is so straightforward. That's what the bands like were named back then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then there's all the other bands that you recognize their song because someone in the next generation of punk rock covered them. So I'm thinking of, like, the Wipers. Their late 70s, early 80s, they had, you know, a handful of songs that you may recognize, but it's because Stephen Malkmus did a cover of Alien Boy, one of their songs. I heard that on some compilation, and I'm like, Alien Boy, why do I know the song? Why do I know the song? And it finally hit me that it was like Stephen Malkmus covered it on a B-side in like 2000. So
how are you listening to this music? How are you finding this music? I don't think it's in your current record collection.
It's not in my record collection, but it's... I kind of just am interested in music. So what... This is a... It's probably a really long way to get to it, but I was most recently thinking about Taylor Hawkins, who passed away. That was a huge shock to me because he seemed like a very happy-go-lucky guy. He's a mere months older than me.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you understand that, you know, he's got a lot of things going on in his life. He's stressed, the stress of being in the Southern Hemisphere, traveling, certainly having, I don't know how many different substances in his system at the same time, and just put stress on you, and unfortunate things happen. But what I was thinking about was, he was in a band, obviously with Dave Grohl, who was in a band where another band member passed away, and Pat Smear was also in that band, and Pat Smear was in the Germs, which was another one of these bands that you want to listen to when you're watching a snowboarding or a ski video. And their singer, and I totally don't remember his name, but he did the whole rock and roll lifestyle where he's like, I'm going to live fast, die young, and leave an elegant corpse.
Darby Crash?
He purposely killed himself because he, you know, he put out one or two albums with the Germs. He was like 22 years old and purposely OD'd. Pat Smear was in that band, so then he loses Kurt Cobain, and I'm starting to think I don't want to be in a band with Pat Smear.
Wow. He died pretty young, though. Darby, right? Like, the Germs were 10 years before he joined Nirvana or something, right?
Oh, he was like 22 years old. I see. This guy. So I started listening to a lot of those bands, and one of the bands that it led me to, and I know we listened to these guys back in college, Para Ubu.
Yeah. By the time we were listening to them, though, I thought they were more like straight up like new wave, right? Like more poppy. I saw them live.
They're certainly off kilter. They're not as hardcore or as heavy as some of these other punk bands. So maybe they're more in the direction of like the Modern Lovers.
Yeah, you know,
Modern Lovers. You may know they, led by Jonathan Richman. A lot of their his songs.
Yeah, were in another there. Jason Bands. I mean, this episode could be about Jason Bands to me in a lot of ways. And Jason Bands are usually are.
Well, that's the thing. We kind of glanced by them when we were growing up, when we were kids. And now you go back to them and you kind of weed through it and you're like, you know what? A lot of this, there's a lot of, I need a good compilation. I need to edit it down because I find some of the songs are really cool, but it's not enough to go all the way through. Maybe the Modern Lovers, their first album.
Yeah, no, I like this idea. You telling me which whole albums to listen to, but I bet every one of these bands probably had some phenomenal song that's super catchy and fun to listen to.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want to find these one or two songs.
Yeah, me too. I want to hear them. I hope you're making a playlist, right?
This is going to be a work in progress. This will be like my summer playlist. So come by this summer. We'll listen to it at the pool.
No, it sounds like it's your ski playlist for next year. I'm excited. We're going to go skiing once, and I'm not going to go on any of the trails you go on.
I don't know. Everybody gives me this hard time because they think I'm such this, you know, I only go down hard trails. I go down hard trails because I like the challenge and I can, but I don't only go down hard trails.
Also, it's not like, none of the mountains will try to kill me unless we go too north.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Going to Vermont, there's...
Yeah. Hey, have you been to Montreal to go skiing yet?
No, like to Mont Tremblant or other places in Quebec.
I assume it's the one that's...
Well, Tremblant's like 2 hours from there.
Yeah, the one that's European. That sounds fun.
Well, Quebec City, there's several over there that are pretty... Yeah, Tremblant, I think, is what you're talking about.
Cool. Have you been to Maine at all for skiing?
No, I haven't even been to New Hampshire.
Really?
New Hampshire. Really?
Wait, so...
I ski essentially in New York and Vermont and occasionally... New Jersey or Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think it's Pennsylvania, right? You mean Poconos?
Well, New Jersey has an indoor ski mountain that you can ski.
It sounds horrible. I mean, I'm sorry, it doesn't sound horrible.
It's kind of cool to ski in July, though.
Yeah, is it snow? I mean, I'm sorry, is it H2O that's frozen?
It's indoor. It's snow.
Yeah, I mean, it's man-made snow, which is snow, but I mean, tomato, tomato.
Hey, on the East Coast, a lot of the snow that you're skiing is man-made.
Unless you go during a blizzard, which is what I get when you're doing. All right.
Well, when you plan to go every weekend, you don't miss the storm.
Yeah, that's fair.
And
when you go every weekend, you don't miss the storm. I love it. Man, you sound like a surfer, but not because you're a skier. Hey.
And I guess that's why that punk music was the next generation later, right?
Maybe. What else you've been listening to then? Or not listening to, but thinking about? Wait, are you listening to this music when you drive up?
That's some of the music that I'm listening to when I drive up, and it depends who I'm driving up with. If I'm alone, if I'm with my daughter, if I'm with a friend, what does that friend listen to? It really boils down. But if I'm like left to my own druthers, like on my own, I will throw some of that in. Mm-hmm. I'll be also listening to metal. I find when I'm driving, especially when I'm going through Vermont and, you know, through mountainous terrain, you want to listen to some jammier stuff.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Some Fish will work in there. Some Built to Spill will work in there. Of course, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, who, by the way, have released 3 albums
since we
recorded. That's ridiculous. They did an EP... They did a 3-song EP, like 20-something minutes, almost noise kaleidoscope, noise collage.
Like families and kids, right? Mm-hmm. They're awesome. They're just awesome. They're just like, they just figure out how to grab what they're doing and just to do it.
Well, they did, so the 3 things, they did a collaboration with Tropical Fuckstorm, who we mentioned way back in the day.
Yeah, that's you and me,
so
we're going to Melbourne
together.
Album.
Satanic Slumber Party, it's called. It has an awesome video, which we'll probably put in the notes. They also did this thing called Timeland, which was meant to be the music that was played like on the PA in between sets their shows.
That's really cool.
That was released, vinyl only. And then they announced a 3rd album, which is a double album, you know, because not only have they, did they only put two albums out last year, and they're already up to three this year. So it has to be a double album to make up for the, you know, lack of output.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it was twice as much. You know, they just tweeted the other day that if they have back-to-back shows in a town, they're not doing any of the same songs, which I thought is a good premise.
That's like Ween. Ween does that. They'll play, I know they did a three-night set in the city at Terminal 5, three nights in a row. They did not play one song, and I think they played 30 songs every night.
That's amazing. You know, Pavement could do that. Moss Mouse could do that. There's, like, it takes a lot of songs to be able to do that and do that well.
Yeah. Iron Maiden has that number of songs, but they will play the same 15 or 16 songs the entire tour, no matter what.
There's two types of tours, and I'm fine with both, actually. Depeche Mode does the same thing. Yeah, I guess there's bands in the middle who do like three or four different songs, but that's still fairly, you know. I'm fine with that, dude. I'm fine with that. It's just two different shows. It's where you want to pay your money and which show you want to put up with. And I'll do, I do both. I'm good.
Right, and we did a whole episode talking about live shows, so
and two about COVID live streams.
That is true. Really, the moral of the story is, it makes sense that when you're skiing or watching ski videos or snowboarding videos, it would be the same kind of music that you're watching skateboarding videos and mountain biking videos, and it goes back to the surf music, the surf videos of the 50s and the 60s. So it started out with surf rock, it went into garage rock, and that kind of went deeper into punk and hardcore, and you start listening to bands like Modern Lovers, Agent Orange, The Descendants, Parrot Ubu, The Wipers, tons of bands. So much fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna check out the links below.
They make
below.
Cool videos.
Yeah, man. I went to Vancouver with my sister once, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. We ended up at a wakeboarding, or a skimboarding release party. Like, you know, skimboards? You run along the shore, you throw them down, they're a hard disc, you jump on them and you, like, roll right along where the water meets the land, so there's, like, a slim layer of water. And maybe you can shoot off a wave or whatever, but you're basically going from land into water, which is really interesting. And they basically had a DVD that had all the same songs you're talking about, but it's a really good venue for local bands, too, to put out their one big song. Like, you figure a lot of young kids, like, playing 15, 16, 17, are going to play fast, going to play hard. You know, it's not going to be intricate, you know, and they're going to get down, the audio is going to be a little off, and it's perfect to put with your friend's mountain bike music, your friend's skimboarding music, your friend's skiing music, like, videos,
Yeah, and a lot of these songs, I mean, we've talked about the more obscure bands, but the obviously bigger named versions of these are like The Offspring, No Doubt, Green Day. I mean, those are the bands that went into the critical zeitgeist. We're talking about the little, like, off-kilter version of those bands that, you know, do show up in those videos, and you're like, I don't really know this song, but it's really cool. And you're like, oh, the Brian Jonestown Massacre, I've never heard of them. What's their story? And,
dude,
you know, we could go into a whole nother set on that.
Totally, yeah, because my wife made out with one of the guitar players in that band.
Oh, my God, that's...
cool. No, it was before I knew her.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a whole nother episode.
And Brian Jones had his church right around your old apartment.
Oh, yeah, it's the so post office. Sense. That was our post office a block away.
Yeah. And you were right there.
Yeah, man, it's got the crazy energy from San Francisco. So freaky. Right. I gotta tell you one story. I have a niece and a nephew who live over in Berkeley, Oakland, and they never heard of 914 Gilman Street. They never went to 914 Gilman. I mean, I've never been to 914 Gilman, but that was the punk epicenter.
What's 914 Gilman?
It's the punk epicenter of the East Bay, of the like Oakland, Berkeley, San Francisco punk scene. It's where Green Day broke out of. But I think it's basically just an all ages, like, probably just a freaking warehouse. It's probably just like between other warehouses. And it's got a stage, and that's where it's all ages shows, and all punk bands play there. I wanted to play there. I haven't played there yet. Yeah. I should look into that. 914 Gilman. All right.
Well, I think it was funny when you mentioned the wakeboarding and the, you know, I made the allusion to surfing. Some of the other motifs that you find in some of these punk bands around the, especially around the 70s and 80s, is there's a little bit of reggae to them. the obvious one is like, if you look at the Police, when they first started, or the Stranglers or 10cc, those bands, they definitely had some of that reggae sound to them, and it's very similar to the punk scene, and it goes back maybe to the Water.
Hey, wait, how much do you know about the Clash? You gotta tell me about the Clash.
I don't know a ton about the Clash. You probably know more about the Clash than me. There's no way.
I know nothing.
I probably know more about Gang of Four than I do about the Clash.
About who?
Yeah, exactly.
A future episode where we talk about the Clash and Dan LaFleur. Hey, is he a goalie from a fictional movie?
Who?
Dan
Gang of Four?
Yeah. Oh, Gang of Four.
Gang of Four.
I heard Dan LaFleur. Like a goalie.
Guy LaFleur.
That's exactly. Plays for the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah. All right. So check out Para Ubu. Check out the Wipers. Flipper. I don't know. Modern Lovers.
Descendants. Germans. I mean, not Germans. The Germs. My friends had a band named the Germans. No, they're really good, dude. Their songs are awesome. They basically would just shout out places in Germany.
Yeah. It boils down to if
Stuttgart.
It's all the same few chords, but what it boils down to in the end is if you can handle the singer's voice.
Love and energy.
Some people are whiny, like Jello Biafra of the Dead Kennedys. Some people have that affected British accent. Some people truly are British. So,
yeah, I think most of what I listen to,
it's fun.
Yeah, I pick humor, I think. I mean, Weird Al Yankovic, Dead Milkmen, Dead Kennedys. I feel that like my voice is a little jokey.
Could be.
Alright, I'm gonna investigate this.
Well, it's good to be back.
We can't wait to talk to y'all soon. Take care, stay safe. We love y'all.